Welcome to the Media Current Dropcast.
And welcome to the Media Current Dropcast, Episode 1. See, the last episode you may or may not have listened to was considered beta. So we went ahead, made this Episode 1. I am Mark Casillas, Team Poop on Twitter. And with me, as always, are my co-hosts / co-workers at Media Current.
Bob Kepford, at Kepford on Twitter.
Jason Want at Jason A. Want on Twitter.
Jay Calicut at Drupal Ninja on Twitter.
Ryan Gibson at Ryan is Samson on Twitter.
Excellent, excellent. This episode, we're going to discuss an older article from the Drupal Watchdog by Larry Garfield about Drupal 8 development called Something Borrowed, Something Drupal. We'll touch on an Open Atrium article from Phase 2 Technologies by Mike Potter, and we'll take a look at what's new and exciting with Drupal 8. We have gleaned most of these articles out of that wonderful resource known as the Weekly Drop. Bob, tell us a story about that.
The Weekly Drop, you can find it at theweeklydrop.com. It's just a weekly email newsletter that you can subscribe to, and you'll get an email with pertinent links about Drupal in your inbox every Thursday.
Excellent. Of course, another great resource is our own Media Current blog. Our team has been crunching out a lot of great material on Drupal development. Outside this podcast, you'll find an article about page caching by our own Chris Hill. Also, you can read an article about Media Current's participation in the Drupal Sprint weekend, and that happened a few weeks back by Damien. And Dee Dee wrote an article about optimizing videos on YouTube, which made me think about posting our video of this talk. And then I saw myself in the mirror and laughed about that. So, Jay, let's bring up the first article.
Okay, yeah, let's talk this Larry Garfield article from Drupal Watchdog called Something Borrowed, Something Drupal. And what he does is go over all of the new third-party plugins that Drupal 8 now includes. And so, you know, in the past, it's always been like homegrown Drupal solutions. Well, now there's all these new plugins that they're including, and it's pretty interesting. He goes through a bunch of them. There was much more than I even knew about. So just to mention a few, so like Guzzle replacing Drupal HTTP request, Zendfeed replacing RSS, Twig is one a lot of people know about, which replaces PHP templates. So Twig is an exciting one to think about. Let's see. There's a bunch of them, PHP unit being used. There's a bunch of ones that I've never heard of, like Doctrine annotations and PSR logger, a lot of these kind of obscure ones. But and then, you know, a big chunk of the article talks about all the Symfony components. So that's the really big, you know, fundamental shift is going to be using so many Symfony components. So HTTP Foundation, using the routing plugin stuff, using YAML, and dependency injection. There's a bunch of them, but it's a pretty good article. I would definitely recommend checking it out, seeing all the new things that you're going to find in Drupal 8. You know, you're going to not have stuff maybe that you're used to and comfortable with, you know, like hook menu and things I think is going away. So it's good to get familiar.
Yeah, using the routing is going to be much more interesting. Dependency injection is always going to be fun because everybody's so used to using hooks and then using procedural language. And this, of course, with Drupal 8 is becoming object-oriented. So that will be much more useful, in my opinion. I do like my favorite part of this article was the very last point that he brings up of reuse all the things, which means that we're going to be sharing and even more collaboration, not only between in the Drupal community, but the open source community in general.
Yeah, I think that's a healthy thing. I don't think it's been healthy for Drupal to be so isolated from the broader PHP community. I don't think it's been a horrible, like Drupal's really been very isolated, but I think it's very good that we're using, you know, libraries that are used in multiple projects even outside of Symfony. Like a lot of these projects are used, you know, in Laravel or other frameworks that are on PHP. So, I mean, you just think about that, like the more people that are using these libraries, the more likely they're going to find bugs and fix those bugs. It's a good thing.
Right. And also, I mean, I thought it was neat that we're actually going to like the PHP conferences and stuff like that as Drupal developers were becoming full-on, you know, community developers.
So the controversy, right, has got to be the Symfony components is a big piece because it's using a lot more object-oriented kind of techniques. And so we're kind of going away from the hook kind of system that a lot of people are familiar with, right? And so it's definitely a kind of a paradigm shift, you know, the way code is organized, the way it looks. I've messed around with different things. It doesn't seem too bad to me, but, I mean, it is going to be, you know, the learning curve aspect of it is difficult for people who maintain modules, right?
Oh, absolutely. Trying to maintain, we'll touch base on this a little later in the episode, but trying to change in your own contributed module from Drupal 7 to Drupal 8 is a bit of a heavy lift, but that's also helping me get to know the Drupal system completely. So it certainly is helping my development, and also I think this makes me a better developer across the board using something that's a little more standardized, a little more reusable in other things, where we can plug in other components without having to worry about, well, which hook is going to make this thing go away.
Yeah, the kind of magic part of Drupal where you're like, I don't know how this happened. It was some hook called and you're having to dig through. I mean, we just kind of deal with that and get used to it. So it's what we know, you know. So this is something new to a lot of people. So it's going to be a learning curve. But, you know, if you look at like the way object-oriented programming works, it does solve a lot of the problems that we deal with every day where we have, you know, 10 or 15 different hooks being called and trying to figure out which one of those is actually changing what we want not changed. Or, you know, I think it's a good move overall.
Mark, have you started porting Smart Trim?
Smart Trim actually has a Drupal 8 port. There's actually a dev version that works really well. I actually started that a year ago, and it was great because they went from PSR 0 to PSR 4 and didn't bother to tell me or didn't leave me a memo. So I had to complete, it was completely borked, and then I had to rewrite it all. So yeah, definitely that one's ready to go.
Have you, in your, when you were porting that, did you experience having to touch on these different vendor libraries or components?
Yeah, well, actually, with the Drupal 8, with the Drupal 8 version, I was able to port that back to Drupal 7 to make since I was using an external library to actually do a lot of the things that people have been requesting. You know, there was a library already out there, and I'm going to have to apologize because I can't remember the name of the guy that wrote it, but I'm using his library directly. And it works great because it actually trims out all the HTML before it does the word count, and everything's awesome, with the exception of a few minor problems with multi-byte characters. But those are fixes are in the works. But it made it a lot easier. Then I went and tried to do the same thing with the Drupal 7 version because it worked as I wanted it to, and there came some problems with that. So it did make it a lot easier. Being able to plug other things in, being able to plug other objects in, which is how we should be developing, I think.
Yep.
All right, great. So let's move on to our second article, Bob, talking about paragraphs.
Yeah, this was a article I read a week or two ago. Ultima Flexibility, Open Atrium's new related content feature. And this is on the Phase 2 blog. And for those of you who haven't been following Open Atrium, It's basically a Drupal distribution for building your own intranet, and the Drupal 7 version of it is using Panoply, the Panoply distribution. So it has a lot of panels integration and stuff like that allows you to a lot of flexibility in what you can do with your page layout. But one of the problems that probably most people that are building Drupal sites will encounter is being able to flexibly manage media and different types of content layout, which stuff that would typically be in a body field, like a video or an image field, and trying to wrap text around that. And it seems like a really simple thing until you actually try to implement that kind of use case. And so what Mike Potter discusses here is their decision to move to start using the paragraphs module, which is, I would describe the paragraphs module as kind of a cross between the field collection module and the bean module, which is just basically an entity that you can set up and use as a field on a content type. And then you can set up different paragraph types. So you can have one for text, you could have one for video, you could have one for images, you could have one for files. And so then you add that field to your content type. And then when you create your content type, you can create paragraphs. And then you select like what kind of paragraph you want to create. So if you want a piece of text, you can select that. And then you can say, I want this to be a two-column block of text. And that's what you get. Same goes for video. You can basically make a paragraph video type, and then you can select that. And so what you have is fielded entities that are in your node and are tied to your node tightly. So you don't have the problem that you have, say, with fieldable panel panes, where you have this kind of foreign entity that you've just kind of popped in there using panels. But instead, you have a fielded entity that is tightly tied to the content, but that can be controlled. Like the layout can be totally controlled. You can select different layouts. You can select different view modes for that entity. So it's extremely flexible. So it, just seeing the way that OpenAtrium has used this module has really got my curiosity up on trying this out as a replacement for a couple things, field collections and maybe fieldable panel panes. So I'm currently experimenting with it, but I definitely recommend you all check this article out. There's a video, and Jay pointed out that in the comments, there's a webinar, I think at the minute 55 mark, they start talking about this. And that's probably the easiest way to kind of get your head around it. So I'd recommend checking out the video in the comments there. Have you guys, any of you guys tried this module out, paragraphs?
Well, what I'm curious about this is, and at MediaCurrent, I used fieldable entities, not fieldable entities, the multi-field entities, where you can stick that in as a multi-field in a node. And I kind of got yelled at and was told to use fieldable panels. What is the benefit of this over one of those other nodes or node types that you can stick in there and make happen?
Well, having not tried this out yet with, like, say, panels or panelizer, the key difference I saw looking at the module was that it, whereas something like fieldable panel panes is not usually tied to a node, it's usually just kind of embedded in panels. You know, it can be viewed on that node, but there's not really a relationship there. Something like this module is tied to the node, so it's just a field. So it'd be kind of like having a field, a node reference to a fieldable panel pane. So it's, I don't know that it solves all the problems that fieldable panel panes does, but it does something different. And so I'm pretty keen on trying this out.
I spoke with a developer the other day who worked at a company that had multiple content creators, and he said that they were using the paragraphs module to solve a problem, and we kind of brought it up, but where the content creators who didn't have any development background or technical skills were constantly getting frustrated with having to work within a WYSIWYG, and then alternatively the developers were getting frustrated with those content creators who did have some HTML experience, who were going in constantly and wanting to change around formats and layouts. And he said that this was solving a problem for them where they could provide multiple paragraph types to basically allow content creators to just drop in paragraphs and different whatever images or layout, text layouts in multiple use cases, and not have to worry about, you know, down the road if the body field changed or if they needed to migrate the content or the site somewhere else. So that's just one use case where I thought it was really interesting where they were using it.
It seems like an interesting approach to me. I definitely think it would be useful for some. I know in my experience with editors that a lot of editors would still not like this because it's still fields and it's still not you still don't have the comfort level you have with WYSIWYG. The thing that I was thinking about watching the video, I haven't played with the module, but I mean, I feel like I have a pretty good idea just watching the video demonstration. Like, I would say, like, what do you think, like, Bob, about this approach versus more of a super WYSIWYG approach where you have buttons that will create entities or something and embed tokens, and so you kind of have, you're trying to attack the problem a different way, but you're able to still use the WYSIWYG kind of. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with you about some content editors would prefer to have a body field with a bunch of buttons to insert stuff. I think this approach is a little more, well, it's would definitely be easier to maintain and definitely be easier to design for, to make sure, like, you can make your theme more bulletproof with something like this, because you can control more of the markup. It's a lot less Wild West because you can lock it down a lot more. And personally, I think, though a lot of editors want to have a really wide open WYSIWYG editor, that's not necessarily the best thing for their site to be successful. But the big deal usually is that the reason they want to be able to put everything in there is because they've not been provided a better way to do it. And so if this could be made user-friendly enough to where it's understandable, I think this approach is better. But having like said all that, like inserting stuff into the WYSIWYG editor does work. It's tricky. I think what Dave Reed and all the folks have been working on the media module for Drupal 8, what I've seen of what they're doing, seems like a pretty good approach to solving that problem of embedding complex entities into body fields. But still, I mean, that shouldn't be like the default. I don't think we should just have one big body field and put all the stuff inside of it.
Yeah, there's always a lot of room for error when you give them too much rope, or, you know, just enough rope to hang themselves, I guess, is always the thing.
I think that the video or the webinar stated that if you allow people just to put things into a body field, to the WYSIWYG, you can query on the database easily to find out where that content's being used inside of body fields. And this approach allows you to do that a little more easier.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really
easier.
Alrighty, so let's move on to our next segment, which is This Week in Drupal 8. Currently, you know, Drupal 8 is coming, kids, and we all have to learn all these great things about it. Currently, we are in, as of 128, the Beta 6. They're hoping to release Beta 7 sometime, or actually on the 25th of February. And of course, you can always get your most up-to-date information on the current status of Drupal 8 at drupal.org/drupal-8.0. Want to talk a little bit about what we're doing at MediaCurrent. We've already touched about the Smart Trim module, which is a module I maintain. We are trying to get that ported to Drupal 8. Actually, it's got a good port to Drupal 8. Another module that I am trying to get migrated across is the JPlayer module, which is used to embed audio using either an HTML version or with a Swift fallback. It's something that I've been maintaining since Drupal 6. And it's giving me a lot of fun problems, actually, things that I'm learning. Like my main glitch right now is getting the tipple file, which is no longer a tipple file. It's now a twig file. First, I got to learn that. Then I need to actually get that embedded into the plugin, because instead of blocks, they're using things called plugins to do field formatting and other things, which makes things a little more interesting, especially when they change the plugin. That's the beauty of the fact that this is still in beta, the fact that they are still changing the plugin API as I go along. So it's been a real interesting. Anybody else been doing any module ports in Drupal 8? Don't all hold your hands. You know, it's an audio podcast, so instead of shaking your head, Bob, you could probably say no. That's all I'm
You defeated the purpose of me shaking my head, Mark.
Yeah, no. I'm going to call you out if you're just going to be, you know, miming it.
I've been thinking about porting some of my modules, and I've also been thinking that maybe they aren't needed anymore. Really, I need to look at trying to replicate, you know, some of the functionality in core Drupal 8. I think Jay had talked about that with some of his projects, that Drupal 8 has so much out of the box. So like, you know, it really, you know, some things that we had to do in Drupal 7 kind of come, you know, set up out of the box. So it could be just configuration, you know, packaging that up as a module. So that's kind of what I've been thinking about.
Jay, I've played around a little bit with upgrading. I was looking at, instead of upgrading a specific module, I was doing a lot of testing around OpenChurch, upgrading that whole platform. And we can talk about that in further detail on a future podcast perhaps, but I was doing a lot of experimenting, like, okay, how do I, if I'm going to reproduce all of this in Drupal 8 core only, how would I go about that? So I was testing form plugin API stuff and testing all these different things. And some stuff was fun, you know, it's like, oh, here's a little YAML file. But then I'd get all these like nasty PHP errors, you know, when I try to do stuff and documentation's out of date and I like don't know which blog post to believe. And so I'm searching in the core folder to find, you know, the actual, okay, well, I'll just compare it to existing, you know, Drupal core modules because they have to be right because they're working. And so, you know, some of it's fun, some of it's kind of aggravating.
Yeah, there are a few band-aids, especially still in core, that need to be sussed out and figured out. And of course, all outstanding issues and main problems can be found at drupal.org. I found an interesting article, The 6 Steps to New Drupal 8 Developers at webomelet.com. And what I really liked about this article is that it talked about another bunch of the features, but the things that you need to understand, the things about learning object-oriented programming, that's, of course, very key. Getting to know how to use Composer, which is what basically is used to generate and pull down all these external libraries into your install, and actually that's something that I need to do for JPlayer, because that way I, instead of saying in my README, hey, you have to go download the JPlayer mod or the JPlayer library because it's an external library, I can just have a Composer file where they click on it and it builds it out for them. Routing and controllers, like we always talk about how hook menu is going away. You're gonna want to learn routing the way that they're going to be doing it, and then all sorts of other different things. And of course, we'll have all these links to these great articles. Bob, you pulled in an article into the show notes about where to put the JS.
Yeah, well, where we're going to put the JS. You know, Drupal is, to the chagrin of anyone who does web performance, has always put JavaScript by default in the header. And so that's just been switched around. And there's a lot, I think, of things that have been improved as far as the way Drupal interacts with JavaScript. But I know a lot of themers out there and front-end developers will be happy to hear that no longer will your JavaScript be spit out in the head region of your HTML document.
Excellent. So that's about all we have on Drupal 8. Of course, we're going to continue to cover Drupal 8 because that's going to be the main focus of our jobs here in the near future. Yeah. Ryan, you wanted to discuss – you get the honor of controlling the Thunderdome.
Oh, yeah.
The Thunderdome.
I feel like really we need to do some – audio editing there to where it sound like a monster truck.
No, I think the bell is fine. I'm just going to keep the bell in there because that reminds me of my old radio job where every time someone was a winner, the DJ used to always hit the stupid bell and it sounded so horrible. So thanks, flashbacks.
All right, I like the bell. All right, so yeah, we've got DrupalCon Latin America, which I believe starts next week. Happening in Bogota. So
is anybody flying out to Bogota real quick?
Sadly, no.
Yeah, unfortunately, no. I'd love to.
I was going to ride my motorcycle down there, but you know what's physically impossible to do? It's actually, and I mapped this out, you cannot drive to South America. Somewhere towards the bottom tip of Central America, they just end all the roads.
Oh.
It's not even Panama that's the problem. It's further south from there.
Is it jungles?
Probably. I would assume jungles. So, anyway. Sorry, Ryan. I continue.
Yeah. So there's that going on. We've got DrupalCon LA. Registration, I don't think, is open yet. But
they are accepting those fine submissions for talks in Birds of a Feather. Anybody going to that? I am planning on going out to that.
Yeah, I'm planning on being there. Yeah, because it's just like right down the road from me.
I was going to say.
4 hours, yeah.
So make sure to get in your submissions for that. We've got Drupal Camp New Orleans is coming up. Yeah, that's March 28th. And that post was that was posted by our very own Media Current, Jeff Deeks.
Yeah, and I think Jason's involved in that as well.
Yeah, I think they're going to be – the Media Current's going to represent down there. I think that's going to be a big bunch of people there.
Yeah, it should be a good time. And then lastly, you're definitely going to want to check this one out. This is a module on Drupal that's not used enough. And this is the America module.
What is this?
If you haven't seen this yet, you want to go to drupal.org/project/America and get you some America goodness.
I like the version number 5.1337.
Yeah, I mean, this is, of course, and they say it right here, this is a joke module that requires the bad judgment module. So if you're installing this on a live server, that's your own fault, I think. They have – it's just this joke module. I think that's funny. If you open up their issue queue and look at the components that that you could be work on, one of the components is Obamacare. So if we could all just kind of open source Obamacare, I guess, we'd be in a good place.
They really need to put like the Thanks Obama animated GIF on this page.
My favorite issue in the issue queue is a bug report that not all code is in caps. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So if you haven't tried it out, go to Simply Test Me and give that a shot because it's worth it.
Excellent. All right, that about wraps it up for episode one of the Media Current Dropcast. We appreciate Media Current and supporting us, giving us time to create this, and then sometimes we apologize to them as well. Keep listening because we will continue to make these out as often as possible. And on behalf of my team and everybody here, thanks for playing. Start over. Sorry. I've got half my notes in Evernote. I've got half my notes on the Google Doc.
Basically, oh, don't do that.
I have no idea what I'm talking about right now.